Hello, peoples.
What's up, everybody?
It is the Thursdays, which means it's time for the gathering of the Thursday Warriors.
Yep.
So,
on not only the Toddcast, but also the Pridecast. It's June, it's Pride Month, but at NDC Comics, every month is Pride Month. Because we love all fans.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. And actually one of the books I read this week is very right up the Pride Alley. And I loved it. It was great. So, oh man, we both have a little change of scenery. So this is kind of cool. I am in my hotel room in Altoona, PA. I'm set up for Sci-Fi Valley Con this weekend. It's a fun show down at the Blair County Convention Center that I've always had a fun time doing. This is probably like the fifth or sixth one I've done. So hopefully we see some people and hopefully we make some money. So
it's going to be a nice weekend. It's supposed to be like 70 on Saturday.
Dude, I know. I was like, oh man, it's going to be like 95 today. And then I was like, oh, that's only going to be like 69 tomorrow and then 70 the next day.
Yeah.
So next week, though, I am heading to Heroes Con in North Carolina. So I guess if you guys can, and we'll take a poll later, maybe. But would you guys rather us do the show on Wednesday or have a skip week? Because I don't know if I'm going to be down there in time to do the show on Thursday. Yeah. I'll have enough time to read comics because it's like a 7-hour drive. So,
yeah.
but it's going to be a fun time. I'm riding down with Justin Birch. It's my first time going to Heroes, and it'll be freaking awesome sauce.
Nice.
So, yeah. So, some housekeeping stuff. Firstly, we want to send out our condolences to the family of Tim Sale. We found out he passed away at 66. That's crazy. Yeah. Like,
he will be missed.
Rough.
Legends just keep getting taken away from us.
This year blows. I swear to God, if they take Ron Frenz, I'm going to be really sad. So, fuck you.
Why world. Would you say that?
Well, also, he would totally be like, screw this, I'm coming back for a while.
He's okay, right? Okay.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with Ron. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Whoa. But yeah, Tim was he's a big deal, man. Like Long Halloween, Daredevil Yellow, Spider-Man Blue,
Hulk Gray,
yeah, Captain America White.
Yep.
The Catwoman thing he was doing just recently. It's a lot. It's a big deal. And
he just came out with that Long Halloween. They did that like
anniversary issue, special. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he put Jeff Loeb on the map. So
yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And a very unique style too.
Yeah.
Very unique style. So he's a legend.
Yep.
He'll be missed. So.
All right. On a better note, next Saturday, the 25th, I believe, customer appreciation sale, 20% off almost everything.
Yes.
Almost everything. Most of the stores are not doing like sealed product because we already discounted like booster boxes, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then dollar books are half price. So come and dig. It's going to be a lot of fun. And. Yep. I will be in North Carolina, so hopefully it goes well for everybody. So
it'll be a good time.
Yeah. Other than that, then we have the Cranberry 4th of July cookout, which is actually going to be on the Saturday this time, on the 2nd. We're trying something new, trying to do it on Saturday instead of Sunday. So come out for that. I'm going to be cooking dogs on the grill in the back.
Yeah.
I should probably clean that grill sometime between now and then. but yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're excited to do that. So real quick to some stuff I wanted to show last week, but I didn't have a good chance to do that. Hold on, I'm changing your screen share options as I do this so I don't forget.
Okay.
So I got two sketches done at the show last week or 2 weeks ago, and I just want to show them off. So there is the Clea, and that is Just Pencils by Dan Mendoza. Huh.
That's awesome.
Right? And then, there's my Flat Man by Bill McKay.
Nice. Markers?
Marker and pencil, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. I love Great Lakes Avengers. So for any of you who don't know that, you should check that out. It's always check out the Great Lakes Avengers. They rock.
Oh, and also, because I think I sent it to you earlier, but I remember when we were doing like the WandaVision, like, you know, reviews and stuff, you were always like, I think Wonder Man's coming. I think Wonder Man's coming. And I'm like, I don't know. And he never showed up, and I felt bad. But we don't have to anymore, because we just found out today that they're doing a Wonder Man Disney Plus show.
Yeah.
So he's finally here. He's finally on the way.
I'm telling you, dude, we're getting West Coast Avengers as a TV show.
It's coming next week or next year, I think they're going to start filming. So, you know.
So probably 2024 or late 23, we'll see that. So
yeah.
But that'd be awesome. Which actually, when I get to one of my books today, I have a theory for the Harkness show, the Agatha Harkness show.
Oh yeah,
no, but we'll get to it when I get there. So
okay, all right,
I guess we can go into comics and stuff.
Yeah,
do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I don't care. I'll go first. I'll go first. I gotta lean forward. I need like a clicker is what I need. One of those clickers. This is like Daniel Warren Johnson week this week.
I knew those were going to be the books you chose. I was like trying to find other stuff.
I did read Grimm also. And I'll just say the first two issues of Grimm have been awesome. So you guys should check out Grimm. We've got tons of copies at number one at the store. So, but anyways, Jurassic League number two, this is such a fun book. So stupid. So much fun. We open up and we've got, Brontosauro and Giganta, who at the end of the last issue, showed up and they're fighting Supersar and terrorizing his family, all the humans. This is in Metropolis, as you can see in the top. So they have a big fight. They're brawling back and forth. Joker Zard, remember, got kind of beat up by Batsar, and he's being whisked away by Reverse Raptor, I think is his name. And he takes him to this tree that's basically got people trapped inside of it. And he uses the plasma from this tree to repair him, which I thought was hilarious, seeing the Joker just like shoink and straighten up, kind of like Bugs Bunny style right there. So Joker Zard is back, and then he comes face to face with Atrocitaurus, who is obviously a Red Lantern, and he's like, it's time for war. And he tells them that this tree is not just a tree for healing people, but it is to feed the this egg that's going to bring about what I believe to be Darkseid coming. So he's working with them. We got to get going. We got to work. Batman ends up meeting up with, or Batstar ends up meeting up with Superstar, and he's telling him his story. And they kind of team up to fight these two beasts to save the human beings. And in the meantime, you have Wonder Woman shows up. Wonder Dawn is her name, and she just smacks the shit out of Giganta. And this book is so much fun. And then they team up, they get together, and they're like, time to kick some ass. So this book is awesome. It's so much fun. It's very like just chill and have a good time and look at all the amazing art. And Daniel Warren Johnson did a great job of finding a guy who could mimic his style, I think, because it has a very Daniel Warren Johnson feel to it. So
yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's just so stupid. Like the whole idea of just like, I keep thinking of DC and they're like, you know, they're trying to turn the corner and change, and you know, everybody thinks that DC is like dark and gritty, and then here comes Jurassic League, and I'm like, yes, this is exactly what I want.
Sometimes you just got to have some fun. So, all right,
the comics, yeah,
right, comics. Why would you not want fun? Yeah. So my first book today is Spider-Man 2099 Exodus number 2, by Steve Orlando and Marco Castillo.
Is that Loki 2099?
It is, in fact, Loki 2099.
Nice.
This book, like I like Steve Orlando, but like this book felt really like it was like the never-ending story. It was just like, oh, we're gonna talk about this, and then we gotta talk about this, and then we gotta talk about this, and then this thing happened, and then this thing happened, and so on and so on. So basically, the idea is 2099 is trying to build an Avengers team. That's what this whole Exodus thing is about, because the Evil Brotherhood has actually killed the Avengers. He's building a new team. Mm-hmm. So he tries to go and he ends up talking with a Valkyrie who was actually part of, at some point, Alchemex made their own Asgardians. Yeah. It was crazy, which I did not know, actually. and like, so she's basically telling the story of how she met Loki, and that she met him in Undertown, which is like all these kind of like street wretches and like misfits and all the dudes who were kind of like not super high class. Like they had to be kind of put somewhere. And the, like they talked about how Alchemax like used that, those Asgardians that they created to destroy actual Asgard. I'm trying to think, they were called the Aesir, A-E-S-I-R. And like, there was some part of them that basically like sucked out their magic and kind of killed them, called Mysterium. And there's like a giant craw worm. But there's talk about how this Valkyrie actually was one of the Aesir that destroyed Asgard versus actually being a real Valkyrie. Mm-hmm. So then like Loki took her under his wing, and they kind of went to this place where a celestial's blood had spilled everywhere, and it kind of like rebirthed into like an Eden. So he went and collected this stuff. They took a backdoor hammer style Bifrost to Asgard, and it's like a total wreck. And that giant worm comes back out. Him and Loki have like an awesome fight. And in the end, Loki fuses his blood with the blood of the celestial, and they turn Undertown into this like new Valhalla Asgard thing. And then Spider-Man tries to get at the Valkyrie to be part of his team. like I said, it was good, but it just like was like, okay, we're going to go to this part of the story and then we're going to do this.
Yeah.
It's this. And it's just like so much like, come on, man, get to the point.
Yeah.
It just felt a little too thorough, I guess, for me.
I know they said that there was going to be new 2099 characters in like each issue. So it almost feels like they're so concerned with just like pumping out like new characters for this 2099 universe that they forgot to write a story to go with it.
Yeah. That's kind of so, how I feel like, or it's like they don't know how to, they don't want to push it out too fast. It's almost like they're just mm-hmm. doing it a little too slow. You know what yeah. I mean? But it's good. It's just meh. So I mean, I liked it. It just, you know, I wish there was more, like the last issue was him, you know, getting the new Winter Soldier, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
both the Winter Soldier and the Valkyrie are both women. So it's interesting to see them like building this team of 2099 Avengers that are all women. So, I like
this
it.
One drawn by the kid from Pittsburgh also?
No.
So just the first one.
Yeah, I don't know if they're flip-flopping or not. I can look that up while you okay. do your book.
Okay. So. I'm doing do a power bomb. So, real quick, the story behind this book that not a lot of people know. I can't believe it. I don't think we told people. Me, John, Tim, we had Daniel Warren Johnson on last year. And afterwards, when we log off, we're all sitting there chatting. And he's like, hey, you guys want to hear the pitch for my new book? And this was the book. And it was super cool to have him pitch that to us and tell us all about it. So this is Do a Power Bomb. It's fantastic. Here we go. Do a Power Bomb starts out with this main match. It's a championship match between Yua, Steel Rose, and Cobra Son. Yeah, Cobra Son. And Daniel Warren Johnson was bred for drawing wrestling books. The fights in this, I mean, the chaos and stuff around the ring are fantastic. Yua comes into the ring. She gets the mic. She's doing her little speech just like you would with wrestling. She's like, you know, I don't just do this for my family, like my daughter. I do this for you. You're my family. And the crowd's like loving her and cheering for her. And then Cobra Son comes out and he's like, he's got the mic and he's walking down the ramp and he's like, oh, that's so sweet. He's like, you do it for your family. And I think that's stupid. He's like, I win for the glory and for the power. And it sets up this amazing fight between the two, this championship fight. Lots of great action with awesome sound effects and great colors. Amazing shots. This was a great scene with Cobra Son doing a backflip off the top rope into the crowd where he had thrown her. But eventually he tries to do a move off of the top rope and he's essentially going to do a power bomb and he slips and he drops her on her neck and she dies. Fast forward 10 years later, her daughter, Lona, the Steel Rose, is fighting and she is in kind of a minor league, wrestling league. Mm-hmm. And she's getting the shit beat out of her. Every time she's in the ring, she's just getting busted up. But she's trying to fill her mom's shoes. And she talks to, after this, she's going to talk to the guy who puts on the shows. But here she is doing her best Chris Evans Captain America. Is that all you got? After getting Falcon Arrow. Which is just a deadly move.
Not the murder.
Yeah, not the murder Falcon Arrow. Although that would be
really cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. So afterwards, you know, she's like, why won't anybody train me? She's like, you know, like, your mom died in the ring. Like, we don't want to train you because we don't want you to die also. Like, it's kind of like forbidden fruit. Like, we don't want to do that. And this guy, this creepy guy shows up in the alley and he's like, I think I can train you. She's like, yeah, whatever, creep, get away from me. And he's like, maybe I should show you. He grabs her arm, teleports her here. His name is Willard Necroton. And he says, welcome to the Baron Bastion, his castle. And what he tells her is, I have a wrestling tournament. This is in another dimension. I have a wrestling tournament that I put on. It's an interdimensional wrestling tournament. And the only, and the prize isn't just a championship. I want to tell you about how I can bring your mom back. And then closes. So she's clearly, obviously, going to, you know, fight in this tournament. And if she wins, be able to bring her mother back. So
that's this cool.
Whole idea is nuts and crazy and Daniel Warren Johnson, and it's fantastic.
It's so, very, very Daniel Warren Johnson.
It really is. So
all right, my next book is Hulkling and Wiccan. So this was awesome. I will first say that I absolutely love Hulkling and Wiccan. They're one of my power couples in the Marvel Universe, mm-hmm. in the 616. This has some amazing freaking art. I don't know if you want to try to find some while I do this, but it's got like an anime style to it. But it kind of picks up where we normally left them off, like right after they got married. Hulkling is, you know, Emperor of the Kree. He's Kree Skrull Lord.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the king of both. So him and Billy are there, and they basically have like this awkward space date with Northstar, Northstar's husband, and Iceman. And Iceman shows up and he's just like, I baked a pie. From now on, you guys can call me Pies Man. So terrible. So, you know, they kind of talk about, like, how are things going since you guys got married? Do you guys ever fight? And then Kyle, I think, is Northstar's husband's name. They start talking about how they never, or like, they don't really fight. Or they fight a lot, but they always compromise and blah, blah, blah. So, which spawns this question of, where are they going to live? Are they going to live up in space? Or are they going to live back in New York? And, you know, like, Hulkling's like, dude, I have a full-time job doing this. I can't really not do this. And Billy's like, well, I want to move there, and blah, 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 after things calm down. He's like, things don't ever calm down. So Agatha Harkness ends up giving them giving Billy a random video game to play. And so it was called Possibilities. And then all of a sudden they're like pushed into these two other realities where they Wiccan's on Earth with a different person, and Hulkling's on his planet with a different person. And they kind of are like, oh, like, these are my new boyfriends. Like Hulkling is with Go Big.
It's almost like they're getting to see the life that they think that they want,
or that they could have had if they chose to stay on the planet they were on. Wiccan's other lover is Eidolon. And then they eventually figure out, oh, like, I can feel the other person, like, our love will go through dimensions, basically. And they figure it out that Agatha Harkness is behind it, and Harkness is like, I'm gonna train you like I trained Scarlet Witch, even though you don't want to be trained. And you know, I was thinking about this, and well, anyway, that's pretty much the book. It's basically like, you know, they figure out, you know, they need to be together, and they start to compromise some things. But the
I got some art I can pull up.
Yeah. It's pretty sick art for most of this book.
Does it wrap it up in the whole issue?
The story is one issue, yeah.
Okay, because it was originally one of those Marvel Universe app originals.
Yeah.
And I read it. And I do like that they're doing those and that they're releasing them. You know, they released the Hickman Shalvey one. Yeah. I'd like them to release Spider Bots. But yeah, I thought the artwork was really fun.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really really enjoy the art in this. It just
there he is.
Really fits it. There's Pies Man.
Pies Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
here they are at dinner. Yep. So it's very cool. And like at one point, like Wiccan's like, oh, like is it weird that I wanted to fanboy about North Star?
Yeah, there it is. The little Game Boy Advance possibilities.
Yep. Almost looks like a Game Gear, but
yeah.
But so my thought was with this was I was like, oh shit, I forgot Agatha Harkness did train Scarlet Witch, and they kind of pushed her not quite into that role in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that Billy exists in at least in that that small world inside the
there is a reality where he exists.
Right. So my thought is, since they already talked about bringing Hulkling in to Secret Invasion, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if they bring Billy as Wiccan in Agatha Harkness, and then you really do have the Young Avengers ready to roll?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that would be an interesting foil for Agatha Harkness as well. So this is me completely speculating. but I dig it. I think it would be, I personally would love the shit out of that. That's just how I feel.
Oh, yeah.
I love the twins. I love Hulkling. I love the Young Avengers. I remember one time when I was working at Century 3 and somebody actually came up and said, can you name the Young Avengers? And I did. And I got to Iron Lad and they're like, he doesn't exist. And I'm like, yeah, he definitely exists. And they're like, no, he doesn't, because he's just Kang the Conqueror. And I'm like, well, that's true too, but he exists. I'm like, the poster is right there of issue one. It's right there. He's right there. He exists.
And the dude he just transfers. Yeah, he's Kang, but he's still Iron Lad. And he's also eventually, a Mortis.
So.
Yeah, and he eventually helps the new vision mm-hmm. is kind of him, you know, because then he falls in love with Cassie, I think, that younger vision. They might even have a relationship, and then it makes Iron Lad jealous, like when he ends up coming back, because he's in love with her too, but Vision's just kind of like the programming of Iron Lad,
It's such a good book. It's still good though. I love the Avengers.
I read that like at least once every year or so. And the Children's Crusade just adds to it. Yeah.
That storyline. I remember when that came out and I was like reading it. Like I read like the first two issues, and then everybody else was like, have you heard about this story? I'm like, you guys are so far behind.
Yeah.
behind. And I'm like, have you read the original stuff? They're like, no. And I'm like, you may want to, here's the trade, you may want to check it out. So.
And honestly, I feel like that's where they can go, because after Doctor Strange 2 with Wanda just kind of like, because she's not gone, spoiler alert, you know, that she's just not.
We're not gonna see her anytime soon.
No, but when we do, like, man, you bring the Young Avengers, then you do this children's crusade to find her and bring her back, and then enough time has passed that she can be a good guy again, and you don't question it, you know?
Yeah, I'm just worried about, like, how do they do the Patriot with like the mutant growth hormone stuff, or do you just disregard that part and just let it be the original ploy of he's the grandson of Isaiah Washington?
No, I think it's a powerful part of the story. I would include it. Yeah. I would include it. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway. So we got a couple shows to talk about.
Right. So for those of you who are listening and or watching and not commenting in the chat, this is like the worst, the like loneliest chat I've ever seen.
I know. We had like 2 weeks ago. When did we have? We had like 10 people watching.
Yeah, right.
But it's okay. It's all right. When you're Pittsburgh's most mediocre comic podcast,
right? Sometimes it's mediocre.
It's the ebb and flow. The ebb and flow. You just go with it.
True. So, we are very mediocre. If nothing, we are mediocre.
And so good at it.
Oh, we are fucking the shit when it comes to mediocre podcasting. Yeah. So, anyway, so now's the time where we're going to talk about some shows. So if you haven't caught up on them, disappear. We'll see you guys at the, Tim might see some of you guys at the customer appreciation sale.
Yep.
I will see some of you hopefully at Sci-Fi Valley this weekend, and then we will see you next week. I would poll you, but there's really no one here. So maybe Wednesday night. Probably Wednesday night. Instead, we'll post on socials. People will know, hopefully. So, but anyway, what do you want to talk about first?
Well, Star Wars was kind of good. Maybe save that for last. I mean, they were both really good.
Yeah.
But in two different ways. So that's, which I really like, because the tone of both shows is so different.
Absolutely.
But Miss Marvel, the first episode, I mean, it showed it. It's 96% on Rotten Tomatoes, and rightfully so, because this feels like the show that Disney Plus was made for. Moon Knight was a good show. I enjoyed it. It had some ups and downs. Ultimately, I feel like Moon Knight would have been better as a movie. Than a show. But this, the way this is, it feels like a superhero kind of like sitcom, you know, like I'm watching the Pakistani version, superhero version of Family Matters, you know?
I think it's kind of got like, so I said it has like a John Hughes-ish kind of vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
But also like, I was thinking about this, but like, I couldn't pinpoint which one specifically, but you kind of said sitcom, and it reminded me, I said something to somebody the other day that was similar to that. But it reminded me of like the 2000s Disney, like not Hannah Montana, but like something like that kind of vibe, but better. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah, sitcom-y, but also with like that kind of background stuff that made it real fun. I really enjoyed it. Like I think the first episode they really nailed the tones of each character. And then in the second episode I thought it started to flesh the story to see where we're going.
And even some of the other characters too. You know, her best friend, you just kind of see her like at a glance in the first episode, but you get a little bit more of her and who she is in this episode, a little bit more of Bruno. I love the scene when she comes home from the car ride with the guy she likes, and then she's just dancing through the house.
It's Carman.
But she just dances through the house, and then it's like the lighting and everything, and then she's like Capri Sun. It pauses all that, and they're like, oh, how was your day? And then she closes and she's like, oh, it was amazing. And then she goes back off to doing the dance. I thought that was all really awesome and cute and like.
Yeah, that was fun. A very like Kimmy Schmidt vibe, or yeah. like even Scrubs ish, because like there were moments yeah. where Scrubs would yeah. be something like that. But it's that zany, weird, like mm-hmm. fun, like innocent, like childish thing that makes yeah. it fun. Yeah. You know, I thought that scene was excellent.
It so. Built on the mystery for sure, because mm-hmm. we're learning more about, you know, these bands, and then she's having these kind of blackouts and these visions. So the kind of ends with, I don't know if that, you know, we saw that lady in her vision. Is that supposed to be her great grandmother from that purge that they were talking about?
I think so.
And if so, is Carman then related to her?
I think so.
I think so. Yeah.
I'm curious to know, like, Bruno. If. So let's deep dive this for a second.
Mm-hmm.
So firstly, I'm not super on board with the power set switch yet.
Yeah, but, I'm not either.
But if the band is a nega band,
mm-hmm.
which usually they come in a set, like then my question is, so if this is her great grandmother and maybe she was stuck in the negaverse,
yeah,
right. Do we think that they're going to try to make Carmen into a version of like Janice Vale?
That's a good question. I guess it just depends on.
I'm not 100% against that.
Yeah.
But it just kind of feels like a weird back doorway of making a Captain Marvel, Janice Vale style Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know.
Because like that whole thing was like Rick Jones used the Nega Bands
mm-hmm.
to bring Janice Vale out of the Negaverse. And that was yeah. like why he was the black with the sparkles and shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I can't wrap my head around that.
Did I just blow your mind with what?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. Yeah.
Sorry, I like to deep dive these weird possibilities. They almost never come true, but
I watched an interview with her. Happy Thursday, Marvin. Thanks for watching.
Hey, Marvin. I watched
an interview with her, and she was talking about her aunt was on WhatsApp, and she's always telling her that don't go on there, it's for scams. And then she found out about this casting through WhatsApp, and
really?
She had never from her aunt, and weird. She'd never acted before.
Oh,
so she's never acted before, and I'm like,
and she's doing like, a pretty good job.
She's like, what you see is just me being myself because I've loved this character. She's like, I had like fantasies essentially of Robert Downey Jr. because I love him. She's like, I don't know what I would do if I ever saw him. So she started reading Invincible Iron Man at a comic store from up in Ontario where she's mm-hmm. from. So she started reading Invincible Iron Man. That led her to Ironheart. And then she started reading Ironheart, and that led her to Miss Marvel. And then she's like, oh my God, this is my hero. There's a brown superhero. And she fell in love with her. And then she would like dress up as her and cosplay as her for like Halloween and stuff. And now she's Miss Marvel. I just think it's cool that we're at the point where kids are watching shows and movies, and it's getting them to read the comic books. And then they're finding the characters that they like, and then they're just becoming them in real life.
Yeah. I mean, that's
awesome.
Well, I mean, like the dream. That happened with Andrew Garfield when he became Spider-Man. Like
same thing with Tom Holland. They both like love I still Spider-Man, remember when
Andrew Garfield showed up to that Q&A dressed like Spider-Man.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. So overall, like I'd say this was just as good as the episode. I think I'm just leering about the powers like you yeah. are, but they're doing good job of making everything else so good.
They did that one little hint part where they talked about how it pulls something from Insider anyway.
Yeah.
So it just makes me go, all right, is this our backdoor into mutants? Is this our backdoor into Inhumans?
Yeah.
What are we going to do with these people? Like, yeah. that's my thing. And then
is it Crystal? Because if it's pulling from within her, has she just not been able to fully manifest it and control it the way that she wants? And maybe that's why it's Crystal. I feel like it's probably going to stay that way, but I'd like to see it maybe evolve into what it's supposed to be. But it sounds like from listening to interviews with Kevin Feige, like it's probably just going to be this.
Okay. So. Yeah. I'm still just not 100%. I have some dumb mental block because I loved the original run so much and like her powers of just being like the Embiggen powers.
Yeah.
So it's the part that's actually like that I'm not super awesome about is the make a little shard and walk on it type thing.
Uh-huh.
Like that's the part that I'm like, I don't really know if I like that.
Like, what would be, if you're not going to do the Embiggen, instead of having her walk on those things, it would be cool if they did, like, an armor vibe from X-Men, where mm-hmm. she makes this giant crystal version of herself, and then you just kind of see her floating at the center of it,
yeah,
controlling it. Like, I think that would be cooler than just, like, I'm walking on this pad, but that could also come with mastery of the power, too, so.
Yeah, I just think it's weird that they basically made her, like, a lantern. Like a,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that's it's kind of like the cop out to me, but we'll see how it goes. I may end up enjoying it, but it's just weird to not have that from the comics when everything else has been pretty good. All in all, I really enjoy the show and I think it's great. So, all right,
I do too.
Yes, let's Marvin.
Let's pull the Vader episode in.
Yep.
I'm force pulling it. Yep. That's what I do with my hamstring all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm in a hotel room by myself. I might be force pulling it. Wait. I didn't say that. That was gross. My bad. I'm good. Sorry. My bad.
I'm out.
Anyway.
So Obi-Wan.
So finally. I didn't give it as much hate as everybody else did on the first four episodes.
People are impatient is what it comes down to.
Yeah, I was like, this is the same shit that we heard during Moon Knight. This is the same shit we heard during Boba Fett. Same shit we heard during everything else. And I was like, the first four episodes to me really had like a prequels meets Rogue One vibe.
Yep.
Right. This episode felt like that line between Rogue One and Episode Four. Like, you know, this is like the holy shit. Like, now we're going to find out why they, like, what really happened before Episode Four happened.
Mm-hmm.
I loved everything from the use of Lola as the decoy to like screw everything up. Yep. I really loved the scene between Obi-Wan and the Inquisitor through the door where they were talking about like who they like when he figured out who she was. Like that to me was huge.
Yeah.
I thought the like everything about Vader in this episode was just spot the fuck on.
Well, and like the fight that he has later in the episode is basically the training session that Anakin has with Obi-Wan just all those years later. Yeah. And I love that one because it felt like when you looked at the background, they kind of gave it that CG feel from the prequels, mm-hmm. the big pillars and everything. So I love that attention to detail that they went back and tried to mimic that style for that. I mean, yeah, he did look like he was 40 in parts. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, that was my only part that was a little bit rough. I was like, ooh, they did not de-age you very well. Back to your Anakin-ness.
I don't even think they tried, really. They probably just put some touch-up makeup on. But, you know, finding out we were right all along that the third sister was a youngling, and this whole time she's kind of been using Obi-Wan to get to Vader. Mm-hmm. So then Obi-Wan uses her, in a sense, to bring Vader in so she can end Vader. And that brings us to that amazing fight scene, which was freaking awesome. After the ship flies off, you know, and he's...
Oh, yeah. Like, he, like, brings that whole ship down and then rips the one hull apart. I was like, holy fuck. And then, like, you know, they start fighting and he's just stopping her shit with his hand, like, with the Force. I was like, This is the best Vader fight. Like, this gives all of the classic series. The original trilogy, we never got a really good Vader fight because let's face it, like they were basically like actually sparring with swords.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they did, there was a little bit of acrobatics, but nothing like what they could have done. And even what they did in the prequels. Like, I remember watching what was it, episode 2, and the first time we saw Yoda fight, and I was like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Yeah, when he fights Count Dooku.
Yeah, and he's like spinning around and jumping everywhere, and I'm like, holy fuck. Like, I was like, if this is the kind of shit we're gonna get from now on, I am in.
Yeah. I'd need a cane to walk like that, you know, to walk too if I'm jumping around like that.
Yeah, no shit, man. Like, you know, I have bad back now. Imagine what my back would be like if I were jumping around like that. But yeah, like the fight with the third sister was just absolutely amazing. Like, that fight was so good. And it really, to me, like, made this whole thing, like, it really validated everything so far that we've seen. It really, like, went, okay, every piece was actually needed and well-placed. So I'm just, is it bad though that I'm like, okay, we're going back for Luke? And I'm like, do we really need to do that?
No, I mean, I'm interested to see where it goes. And he wants to do more of it. If this opens up the door to like a Vader series, I think would be fantastic. I'm really hoping for, you know, we're supposed to get this showdown, I think, on Mustafar between Vader, and we haven't seen that yet,
right?
So, like,
I was gonna say, like, can I just say how much I loved Vader's castle on Mustafar?
Yeah,
like, it looked so good.
So good. I would love to see kind of like a Star Wars Rebels fight where, like, Ahsoka cracks Vader's mask, and you see Anakin, and you can kind of hear the modulated voice and Anakin's voice at the same time. I'd love to see that happen in this fight where he cracks the mask also.
That'd be cool.
And you get to see Anakin a little bit through that. I think that would be awesome. So
definitely. I just think this whole thing has just been very well scripted, well paced. I think it's just very, very well done. So
people want too much right away, and it's like, you don't understand story. You can't just give the farm away in the first 5 minutes or in the first episode. Like,
right,
take your time, watch it. It's I understand that it's on a movie scale and broken, but it's broken down into episodes, and you got to take your time. And it paid off.
Yep.
So, and it's gonna pay off, I think, the next episode too. So
I agree.
In the finale.
Someone was talking to me, because I haven't played this far into the game, but I started playing Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Right? And I guess some of the scenes from this show are actually based on scenes out of that. Mm-hmm. I knew about the Inquisitors. I didn't know about everything else yet, but I'm just like, no shit, really?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm hoping that it'd be great if we saw the main character, Cal Kestis, show up at some point in this
series. And I hope it's the dude from Shameless, because I'm pretty sure that's who he was based on.
It's that redheaded kid. He played the Joker in the Gotham series. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he definitely needs to be in this. I mean, they already showed a BD unit in Boba Fett show, and the BD-1 unit is like his kind of like R2 unit thing that follows him around. So, I would love it if they did that, if they introduce him. So,
me too.
But,
cool. All right. Well, I think that's all we got for tonight, guys.
Yep.
Again, we will see you guys Wednesday night next week.
Yep.
Because I don't really want to take another week off. So we'll be doing Wednesday night next week, 8:00. Hopefully we see everybody this weekend at some stuff, and make sure you guys go out and buy some comics and read some good stuff. And read an old Tim Sale piece if you can. I'll probably reread Hulk Gray when I get home.
Yeah, I might just grab my Batman graphic novels and just reread all those. So,
yep, but it's a bummer. So.
It is.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, guys. We will catch you next week.
Peace.
Bye.